Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
Nobody was showing their boobs at this one, which was striking, because last year they were all over the place. This year maybe it was just a little too chilly, or maybe the fact that they didn't actually have the like professional boob painter person that they had there last year. So it was kind of a more... I don't know, conservative, if you will.
It was a very conservative weed festival. Is that what you're telling us?
Yeah. I'm just stunned by the notion that all across America, men are reevaluating their career choices after finding out there's something called a professional boob painter.
Yeah. Well, there was one. There was.
I think
a conversation.
You might have to be a woman for that, though.
I think that it helps, but look at.
Or you could probably, if you're like really flamboyant, if you can pull that off, if you just pretend to be gay, you can probably get away with it.
Check out the gynecologists. I mean, you know, how many of them are women?
I wasn't one
I
of the.
Know.
Not a large percentage.
So last year at what was then called Hemp Fest, this is a new festival, so although it seemed similar, it was kind of different. It was smaller. It was its first year. But last year, the breast painting area, I did not go to. I mean, I was all over the campground, but I didn't specifically. Well, here's why. I mean, there were all kinds of creepy, lecherous guys, apparently, that were sort of lurking around that particular area taking pictures. I've never done an Operation Politically Homeless booth here.
Yes. Well, you did them out on Railroad Square here in
Keene. Did I? Really? Yes. A long time ago?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. I didn't remember that.
Well, you've done so many of them.
Thanks for the reminder.
It doesn't surprise me that you don't remember.
I don't remember doing that because I donated the old OPH stuff to the LP down in Sarasota, Florida before I left.
The board was here.
No. No way. I donated that stuff. I didn't bring that up with me because where the hell is it now? I don't have it.
I don't know.
Anyway, I'm pretty sure Mark's saying I did this in Keene, New Hampshire, but I don't remember. That would have been like more than a decade ago a decade at this point. But I did do a lot of them down in Florida. And I felt like I just generally feel like overall from all the outreach that I do, whether it's jury outreach as you and I have done over the courthouse, Melanie, or whatever, it just seems like people are more receptive in New Hampshire to being talked to about ideas. They're more open, they're more interested in kind of finding out about new things or themselves and, you know, what their beliefs are compared to others. So, like, for instance, at a jury outreach in Florida, I might get 50% of the people taking a jury flyer. But in Keene, New Hampshire, I get 90 to 95% of the people that come by me.
You've been doing that for so many years and have missed so few jury days.
Yeah.
Over the years, I'm surprised you don't get more people that just say, I got it 3 years ago. Thanks.
It has happened.
I have something I'm feeling concerned about, and that's Chris Cantwell, but it's something I'm concerned about him for different reasons than usual.
Okay. Yeah. I was going to say, you've got a lot of Chris Cantwell on the mind these days, James.
Well, I do. Why? The reason I have him on the mind so much right now is because, as best I can tell, he's a political prisoner who's being held without bail for a crime that, you know, hasn't left any long-lasting injury. The guy went and turned himself in and, you know, just walked right into the jail, didn't try to drive off in a high-speed chase or anything. You can never call him a flight risk. And unfortunately, I see my libertarian partners in crime out here kind of, by and large, celebrating it, I want to say. I mean, I think there's a lot of people who view this objectively and would agree. Oh, my baby's waking up. Sorry. View it objectively and see him as a political prisoner, but there are a lot of people who just are kind of psyched about it, and I'm pretty concerned about that.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from, and
I agree 100%.
So, for listeners that don't know who Chris Cantwell is, he made news headlines pretty big time about 2 weeks ago after the Charlottesville, Virginia protest / conflict between the white supremacists and the Antifa or anti-fascist groups. He ended up getting on a Vice documentary, a 20-minute long Vice documentary about those clashes, and it pretty much focused most of the time on Chris.
The bottom line is, like, everyone who's hosting the show tonight, including and me calling in, we all believe some pretty unpopular things, and if we were out walking in the street in many towns saying those things, there'd be a lot of people who would be excited to get us to shut up, too.
And oh, yeah. They're called Stop Free Keene here.
People would get my back, you know?
They're called just people, but...
Here in Keene, there are all kinds of people who really get pleasure from other people's pain that they don't like. It's called schadenfreude. and they
sure,
just.
But I guess I hope for better from libertarians, because the thing is.
Sorry to disappoint you, but libertarians turn out to be just about the same as everybody else.
Yeah, and what,
I think we're a little better.
I don't think so.
I think we're a little better.
I don't know about
one
that.
One of the things that I
kind of. Libertarians I met tend to be better in this regard, but like when I think about some of like my views, you know, education is a big pet issue of mine, and a lot of my views on education, especially public education, are really unpopular, but I would hate to believe that I could be out demonstrating somewhere and come get beaten up by somebody and defend myself and get thrown in prison, and then all my friends would be like, well, he believed unpopular things, so I guess he had what was coming to him. I don't know.
Now, according to the conversation I had with Chris, it sounds like the bail hearing is going to happen this Thursday. So, you know, every state's different as far as how they do arraignments, bail hearings, and
usually
pre-trials.
Got 72 hours.
In this case, it's going to be longer
than
that.
That's a lot longer than that.
Yeah, it's about a week until his bail hearing is going to happen. So it's going to happen a little bit later on this week. As we know more, we'll definitely let you know. But James brought up this kind of interesting point about these libertarians who should know better about, you know, not to trust the government, not to, you know, let whatever emotion they might have about an individual taint how they're looking at how the government is handling
the
situation.
I haven't even seen too many people, as far as libertarians, allege to me that he's guilty of whatever crime. I've just heard them celebrate the fact that he's being screwed over. They weren't even making an argument. Like, I can't even say not an argument, because they weren't saying, oh, he's guilty. They're saying, at least the people who have come to me, it's like, oh, isn't this funny?
They just want to see somebody suffer. They want to see somebody they don't like suffer.
From the that's a presumption of what it is that they mean when they say it. And I
when people take pleasure in other people's pain, that's usually what's going on there.
I think that
I don't think it's a presumption for most of the people. They're pretty much saying that explicitly. Not every single person. I haven't read every single comment on the internet and talked to every single human being, but the people that I have come across. Yeah,
I am unsurprised that the state turned its eye upon Cantwell after all of the
publicity
that went on, and
plus he was in videos in a fight with people.
Right.
But I wanted to disagree with the idea that libertarians should be or are less likely to behave in this way, and I don't see any evidence for it. I mean, it seems to me that libertarians are just as fallible as human beings as every other human being.
They just know better, and they should
know better.
I feel justified in holding them to a higher standard, because I feel like, okay, you know what the NAP is. You've told
me the non-aggression principle.
You've told me that you understand the non-aggression principle, and you claim to adhere to it. Therefore, I'm going to hold you to a higher standard of behavior than just a regular person.
I don't think it's unreasonable for you to do that, but at the same time, I don't see any evidence that the reality of libertarians is that they.
Well, no, they're not.
And
libertarians are just, they're morally equal to all other people. Libertarians are not morally better than other people.
A flood. Okay.
I've heard of this.
Yeah. I saw a picture of some elderly people in supposedly like some kind of nursing home just standing around and sitting around in a bunch of dirty water. It looked horrifying.
Yeah, and that's a true picture, not Photoshop.
Wow.
53 counties out of 254. Have been declared a disaster zone by the governor. That's roughly one-fifth of the state of Texas. I want to say thanks to the Cajun Navy. And
the Cajun Navy?
Yeah, it's like a group of volunteers.
From Louisiana?
Well, there's Cajuns in Texas.
Oh, okay. I thought that was like a Louisiana thing.
Yeah, all over. And they're really...
They're what? Hello?
Yeah, they're helping us out.
Okay. I'm sorry, are you getting emotional? I apologize.
Poor
man. Yeah,
I didn't know I didn't know if you were laughing, or I didn't know if the Cajun Navy was a joke or
no,
what.
No, that's like, a real thing. They help with hurricanes and
the
stuff.
The man's dealing with a natural disaster, and you're like, come on, spit it out!
Well, I didn't know that, like, I mean, I've been through hurricanes before, but I've never seen anybody get all...
I've never seen anything like what's going on in Texas right now. I mean, it's incredible, the flooding.
Bad and worse hurricanes. They have hurricanes that are just kind of windy and
you know,
blow a tree over, and then they have hurricanes that mess your stuff up.
Oh, I know. I know about that.
And Houston's had a lot of trouble with flooding. They just didn't prepare for flooding and from a municipal level, and they're paying the piper.
So this hit where you live pretty hard. I mean, is it flooded where you're calling from? What are you?
Yeah, well, I'm flooded in East Texas, but like Houston's real bad, man. Mm-hmm. Like 100 years, no one's seen it before.
Wow.
Yeah, it's real bad. I never even imagined that somebody should be ready with boats to help people in Texas. I mean, it never even crossed my mind. You know, when I think of hurricanes, I usually just think of some rain. Mm-hmm. It's pretty uncommon in my life that hurricanes have turned into disasters. So
I remember one time where people were like canoeing around the streets of my neighborhood in Florida.
Yeah,
that was a long time ago, but it did happen.
But I mean, imagine that your house was level with the street. Unlike how it is in your neighborhood,
was going on. 11 trillion gallons have fallen of rain. 9 trillion in Harris County alone. So it's pretty bad. But also, the mayor downplayed kind of the evacuation early on.
Melanie does bring up the point that the banks do kind of exist at the pleasure of the whole Federal Reserve system, and it does. Raise the question of, you know, what would happen if the Federal Reserve
went away? It would be a terrible idea if you were to create a new nation and that new nation had some kind of central banking system with fiat currency and you didn't match the currency of the people in that bank.
Oh, okay, yeah, so if you set up a almost identical government, then yeah, it'll probably be somewhat seamless. But then that kind of defeats the point of fighting a civil war.
If you didn't destroy the government in total, the U.S. government wasn't destroyed in total, which seems highly unlikely, just northeast Pennsylvania goes, secedes or whatever. I'm not entirely sure what Ricky imagines is going to happen, so I can't come up with a
Well,
scenario.
Didn't Ricky think it was going to be a race war? In which case, you're not talking about a government fighting a government
or
whatever.
I don't know that Ricky said that. I don't have...
No, I'm thinking about previous calls of Ricky's.
I don't know.
Yeah. I feel like Ricky's talked about a race war in the past.
If it's just one...
Would that be a civil war? Or does it have to be governments fighting governments? Or is it just anybody within a country, any two groups within a country?
If you have a separatist movement of some sort, then you have a civil war. If you have people fighting each other, it's a civil war. Civil war is a war inside of a country.
That's what I thought, yeah.
So, yes.
The point I'm making is that there's been so many numerous hurricanes, tornadoes, other natural disasters hitting the United States. It's more than just coincidence. The point I'm making is the end times for America are here.
Oh, really?
God hates America. And the reason why God hates America is for its abortion, homosexuality, pornography.
So wait a minute.
They don't have that anywhere else.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, you do know that hurricanes and like earthquakes and things like that, typhoons and those things happen.
Well, so
all
does abortion and gay people and pornography.
So, I mean, are you sure, Scott, that hurricanes are hitting the United States more often than the rest of the world? Because I don't think there's any real evidence for that, is there?
Well, the terrorism hits the rest of the world. This world has had it. It's going to, I would predict in the next 20 years, 30 years at most, hopefully Jesus Christ will come to Earth. Yeah, I'm not saying this is a joke. I'm serious. I believe this.
You know, wasn't he Jewish?
What?
Wasn't
Jesus Christ? I would like to say no. But
according to every historical record, religious and otherwise, says yes. So it's you against all
there.
That.
You could choose to be part of the solution and try. Oh, I don't know. You know, connecting with human beings who look different than you and finding out that they're actually not that different from you after all, and that there really was no rational basis for you to hate them besides whatever reasons, you know, somebody lied to you about once upon a time.
I mean, do you think that regular Jews get messed over by the Federal Reserve too?
Yes.
Then why not just hate central banks?
Let me rephrase that. Let's talk about international Jews.
And what the hell is an international Jew?
You've asked him a million times.
There's a difference. We're referring to people like the Rothschilds.
But that's
people
big money people.
Goldman Sachs.
You mean
people
big money?
Like isn't an
that's
answer.
Right.
It's not a
right.
definition.
There's a difference between them and a rabbi
who runs a congregation.
Look, if I ask you what a bigot is, and Ian says somebody like Scott, that's not a definition to the answer, a definition to what a bigot is. It is pointing to a bigot.
It sounds like he's saying Jews with a lot of money are international
Jews. Is that
Jews.
What an international Jew is, a Jew with a lot of money?
Yes.
How much, more than that. How much
they
money?
Control. They, not only money, they have the power.
Okay,
they
power.
Have tremendous power.
Okay.
For example, Lloyd Blankfein, who controls Goldman Sachs.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy. So I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
Christianity, Islam, Judaism, they're not... I don't look at them as religions as much as I look at them as genres of religion. Telling me you're Christian is like I ask you what city you live in and you tell me Europe.
Yeah, you got to prove you're a Christian,
there's
right?
Entirely different religions under the umbrella of Christian. You know,
yeah,
the religion that my boyfriend is, you know, he worships in a completely different God than some of the people
but he's a
who
Christian,
I've met in this. Yeah.
Right? Self-described.
Yeah,
well,
some of the people I've met in the South. It's an entirely there. It's there's several religions under the umbrella term Christian. That's not
absolutely, and it's everybody's own doing. I mean, you want to be a Christian? That's up to you. You want to be an atheist? That's up to you.
Mark, let's talk about the price gouging, as it has been called, or as some others might put it, just market pricing in a situation where supplies are scarce.
Right. So I saw on Facebook different pictures of prices being higher in southeastern Texas right
yep.
now. I saw gallons of gas going for $8.76.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the cases of water going for $20, $25.
I saw one $42 for a 24-pack.
$72 yep. for you know, some 24-pack or
so
whatever.
$2 a bottle.
And... out of all that information comes this CNBC article, price gouging during Hurricane Harvey up to $99 for a case of water, Texas Attorney General says. There have been more than 500 complaints about price gouging during Hurricane Harvey over the weekend. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton said this includes reports of up to $99 for a case of water, hotels that are tripling or quadrupling their prices, and fuel at $4 to $10 a gallon. There have already been more than 500 complaints. So those are the little key points at the top of the article,
mm-hmm.
But it just sort of goes on here. These are things that
So Texas must be one of those places where they have anti-gouging laws is the idea?
According to Paxton, these are things you can't do in Texas. There are significant penalties if you price gouge in a crisis like this. Anyone who price gouges can be hit with a $20,000 fine per occurrence.
Is that a higher fine than fines usually are?
Maybe.
I don't know.
Sounds
or up
pretty high.
To $250,000 if the victim is someone over the age of 65.
Wow.
As for whether there will be a shortage of goods, Paxton
the
said.
The victim of price gouging.
That's right.
I love how the idea is there's a victim to somebody who just stopped into a store and saw a price tag and thought, gosh, that's a little more than I'd like to pay or a lot more than I'd like to pay. That person's been victimized. That's a whole new definition of
they
victim.
They either paid or didn't, right? So
yeah.
Who's the victim?
Mm-hmm.
The person who chose not to pay or the person
right.
who did pay? I don't know. Because it'd be hard to say that somebody who paid is a victim because they chose to do it.
They chose to, yeah.
The person who didn't pay could have decided they were going to go down the road
yeah.
and that might, you know, maybe they died of dehydration in between the two gas stations. I don't know. I suppose it's possible. But, you know, there you go. That's the situation.
Okay, tell
anyway, as for whether there will be a shortage of goods, Paxton said the big retailers are in the process of reestablishing supply chains as quickly as they can.
The reality is that in a situation where there is very low supply and very high demand, prices are going to go up.
Pricing is just the way that the marketplace allocates resources.
Yeah, and it's a natural thing. thing, and that when the government says that the natural raise in prices that inevitably would occur is not allowed to occur, all they're really doing is just punishing the stores, right? Because what's preventing somebody from buying that 24-pack of water at the standard price? So the government comes in and says, okay, you can't sell this 24-pack more than $3 or whatever the regular price is, or some. There's probably some percentage above the regular price that they'll allow, but not much. So you can't sell this at more than $5. So somebody comes in, they buy it at $5, and then they go out and they sell it at $5 a bottle outside. I mean, how's that going to get enforced on? They don't have a license. Nobody's going to – I mean, if there's some guy selling water on the side of the road, are they subject to the same rules as the, you know, the storefronts?
If they could be caught, but it's easier to catch storefronts because they're already there.
They have to stay there. They're in a physical location.
I think that what is misunderstood by people who advocate for this is that the stores will just be closed. The stores
what's their obligation to stay open?
The stores are open right now because they are now – no longer regular stores. They are the gouging stores. Okay? Mm-hmm. And if you don't want to get gouged, don't go to the gouging stores.
Right.
You should have gone to the regular stores before the hurricane hit.
Long before, because the shelves would have been empty. I saw some of the pictures from some folks down there. I mean, they cleaned those stores out.
There is shell discord happening in this country right now. I can only think of El Caper and a black animal.
El Caper?
Yeah, El Caper, that's Obama, and the black animal, Maxine Waters, as being behind all this thing going on in our country right now.
That's a conspiracy theory. You're not prone to conspiracy theories, are you?
What are they behind?
No, I don't have a question to ask.
Hold on, wait a minute. Are you saying that that Barack Obama is behind the Antifa movement?
Right, because they are an extension to Black Lives Matter. But more to the point, I want to say this. I believe that the antidote to black bigotry in this country is white guilt. Now, I haven't seen the white guilty in this country, put together a plan on how to bring this country together.
I have no clue.
Why would anyone want to bring the country together? It's an impossible task.
Yeah.
People are too diverse. They're too, the belief systems are too varied.
Well, we are in the heated racial war, aren't we?
In the middle of a racial war? No.
If these people, the blacks, going wild and animal.
There's no racial war here, Ralph.
What's wrong with, I wouldn't say the mom and pop shop, but somebody that is just raising the prices. I know it's a crisis, but, here they are trying to make a buck or two, right? What about the Targets, the Walmarts, and all these other kind of people that, they're selling out, they do all this kind of stuff, but where are they? They can get supplies faster than demand, right?
They can't get supplies faster than demand, not in a situation where roads are shut down.
Okay. So do we now go after these smaller companies? Do you mean like these mom-and-pop shops?
No, of course not.
Fair, right. I agree. I mean, the Attorney General from Texas goes out there and accuses these people. It's terrible.
Well, they've got pictures. I mean, there's not going to be much accusation to this. They're going to be fined. The fines aren't going to go to any victim or anything like that. You're just going to go to Texas.
Right. Because there are no victims.
Right,
there are no gouging.
Well, there are no real victims, but they're not going to. Even if there were, they wouldn't get they wouldn't get anything.
Well, and in my experience, which is pretty limited, the smaller companies is who they go after. First of all, because it's the smaller companies who are open. Walmart's closed, and they know that they can't fight as well, so that's who they pick on.
Walmart's
how the rest of the system works.
Bevy of attorneys, whereas the mom and pop quickie mart on the corner of the street probably doesn't have as many attorneys.
And if Walmart was to do something like that, they'd have closets full of papers as to why that price made sense on that given day.
You all are familiar with Naomi Klein, right?
Yeah, actually, we had her on the radio once upon a time.
Oh, you did? Good. Well, she wrote an article back in June. Looks like it's in The Guardian. And in it, she was describing the profiteers from Hurricane Katrina. And she ends up naming five of the, Trump's, whether they're cabinet. Well, I'll just start off with it. Vice President Pence is the first one. Then Ryan, the Speaker of the House, Tillerson was one of the profiteers. Exxon made out like a bandit. But Pence actually is one of the most interesting because he was the leader of the aftermath of Katrina, and he was the director of all of the profiteers down there. And when you think of how bad Katrina ended up and how all of, you know, like Halliburton and Blackwater and all of the machine gun thugs wouldn't let people back into their houses, you know, bulldozing houses that were undamaged, you know, stealing the schools. That was Betsy DeVos. She's the Secretary of Education. It was her company that ended up with the privatized schools. Halliburton, I mentioned, Chertoff, that was head of Homeland Security at the time, his company made out like bandits.
I've never had to pay more than $20 to $40 to repair my bicycle. I use a bike pretty often here in Keene, New Hampshire. Not every day.
Say daily, but close to it.
Not every day. Not, you
know, not every day is nice.
Maybe not even a couple times a week sometimes, but sometimes I do. And I try to bike everywhere, and I'll usually have to repair it like once a year, like, you know, something goes wrong with the shifter thing, and I don't know what the heck to do about it. So I take it in, and this old guy repairs the thing, and he never charges me more than $20 to $40, no matter what the damn problem with the bike is. I don't know what
now
I'm
that
doing.
You pay money for a good bike. You don't have to worry about that. The first three bikes you had to return each time.
Yep,
you got cheapies.
That's right. I got a decent bike from a decent local bike shop instead of Walmart, which is where I got the crappy ones from. And I just have to spend like $20 to $40 a year on repairing the thing. I mean, it's really no big deal. I mean, the idea that there needs to be some sort of government agency to do this for poor people, it's ridiculous.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.